leading us to sing. That was really helpful to help us to think about Jesus this morning and for us to prepare our hearts to listen to God's word this morning. So with that said, I know we just sat down, but I'm going to ask us to stand back up. We're going to read the catechism reading for this morning. I'll read the question, and as you guys usually do, please go ahead and proclaim the answer back. All right, so this is the faith that unites us as one body in Christ. How are we made partakers of the redemption purchased by Christ? Praise God. For our scripture reading this morning, we're going to be in the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 to 46. Again, the book is Matthew, chapter 13, verse 44 to 46. I'm going to read it out loud. If you guys have your Bibles, please go ahead and take it out and just follow along. Or just close your eyes and listen to God's word read. Matthew 13, 44 to 46. This is God's word. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, we praise you again. You truly are the one worthy to be praised. God, you are Savior. We are people who are in need of the love that you give and the salvation that you provide. We are sinners in desperate need, helpless in ourselves, and you are the God who freely gave of your love. You are the God who extends yourself to us and welcomes us to you. Father, we praise you. God, we confess again that so often, perhaps this week, we have not prioritized you. We confess, Father, that we have placed other things above you. We confess, Father, that we have loved other things more than you. Father, we confess these things to you now. And we pray, Father, that you will cause your word now to remind us of the truths that you want us to know and to embrace. Father, we lift this time up to you. Holy Spirit, we pray that you will fill us and cause God's purposes to be fulfilled now as we look into your word. We thank you again. We pray this through Christ. Amen. Please have a seat. All right, so our passage, Matthew 13, the sermon title is All In, No Regrets. All In, No Regrets. So today's sermon topic, it really matters. Okay, so people always say, yeah, this sermon really matters, this passage really matters, but this sermon topic today really matters because Jesus tells us this passage, this truth really matters for us. Jesus really wanted us to know this, what this passage says this morning. Okay, so when you write a paper, you want something to stand out. You might, there's a whole page of words, but if you really want the reader of the essay or something to notice what you want them to see, you might bold You might make something bold, you might italicize, you might underline, you might highlight. Whatever it is, whatever technique you use, you want to have something stand out. You use some kind of technique to make it stand out. Here in this passage, Jesus does something to make this truth stand out. He does this thing called restatement. Okay, he says the same thing two times in a row. Okay, he makes the same point two different times in two different ways consecutively. Restatement. So for example, Sunday school starts at 11 o'clock. In other words, Sunday school does not start at 10:55. In other words, Sunday school does not start at 11:05. Okay, you want to emphasize. Sunday school starts at 11 o'clock. You say the same thing in multiple ways to make it reinforced. That's what Jesus does here. He says the same thing two times in a row because he says, really, I want you to see this. I want you to know this. All right, so today's sermon topic, let me ask you guys, what is the one thing that Jesus talked about most in his 3 years of teaching ministry, preaching ministry? What is the one topic that Jesus talked about more than anything else? Someone take a shot. Money. Man, yeah, Jesus did talk about money quite a bit. The scriptures talk about money quite a bit. But no, Jesus talked about something even more than money. That's a really good one, though. That's common in scripture. Kingdom, yes, yes. Jesus talked about the kingdom all the time. Mark chapter 1, beginning of Jesus' ministry, he started his preaching ministry by saying, the kingdom of God is at hand, therefore repent and believe in the gospel. He ended his earthly ministry. Acts chapter 1, it says, 40 days he taught people about the kingdom of God. So Jesus talked about the kingdom all the time. Okay, so Jesus taught about the kingdom. He spent 3 years talking about the kingdom. We have about 30 minutes to talk about the kingdom. Impossible, right, to fully exhaust what Jesus wants us to know about the kingdom of God. But in our passage today, so much to talk about. Jesus wants us to focus on one key aspect today, just one aspect of the kingdom today in our passage. One aspect alone about the kingdom, and it's this: surpassing worth. Surpassing worth. The surpassing worth and value of the kingdom of heaven to us. So let me ask you guys, what do you guys value? What is your highest value? What is of greatest worth to you in your life? So when I talk to people, sometimes I want to get to know them. So let's say it's a brother or sister who I wanna get deeper with. I'll say, hey, how's it going? And they'll go, yeah, what have you been up to? How's it going? And they'll share, yeah, you know, I've been up to this and that and this. And then I'm like, all right, cool. How are you really doing? And then they just open up like a floodgate when I say, how are you really doing? Because there's stuff going on beneath what they just shared. Well, here, I want to ask you guys, what do you guys value? What do you guys really value in life? What is your true treasure? What is of greatest worth to you in your life? What can you not live without? What is it that if you think, man, if I don't have this, I won't be happy? I gotta have this. What is of greatest value to you? So we're gonna talk about this, and our passage today has an intended effect of reorienting our lives and redirecting our eyes to see what Jesus wants to see. The point of the passage this morning is the kingdom is of supreme worth. Therefore, we must do whatever it takes to have it. In other words, the kingdom of heaven is of unmatched, immeasurable, unsurpassed value. And so, like the title says, we got to be all in. Do whatever it takes to have it. Whatever it takes. All right, so we're going to see this in two parts, three verses, very short passage this morning, but first part in chapter 44. Or in verse 44, Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven like treasure found. Treasure found. Second part, 45, 46, Jesus compares it to precious pearls, or the precious pearl. All right, so first part, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure found. Okay, so Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like treasure that is finding unsurpassed treasure. Look what it says, beginning in verse 44. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and covered up. In this passage, this passage of focus is not helping us to understand. It's not just calling us to understand about the kingdom, like understand it mentally, intellectually. It's not just calling us to understand. This passage is talking about how to get into the kingdom, how to have it for yourself. Okay, so sometimes when we sing songs, like how these brothers just led us to sing, it can be very emotional as we think about the words and we sing the words. The thing is, Christianity is a highly emotional thing. Christianity is a highly emotional thing. Sometimes, you know, we like to pride ourselves in being very level-headed. You know, man, we're very level-headed, not overly extremely emotional, you know, like, you know, but, you know, we're very level-headed. But the thing is, Christianity, by nature, is a highly emotional thing. Doesn't mean that if you're naturally not an emotional person, you're sinning. But Christianity has a way of stirring up emotions in us. In this passage here, we're going to see in verse 44, Jesus is comparing emotions. He's talking about emotions. He's talking about this man who found treasure and the emotions that he feels, the amazement, the joy, and the astonishment that he feels. And he's the overwhelming joy that he feels. And Jesus says, like that emotion, that's what it's like to see the kingdom. That's what it's like for each one of us to have the kingdom extended to us. This man found treasure in the field. He found treasure, priceless treasure, that kind of emotion. So as we're reading verse 44, some of you might be wondering, why is there treasure in a field? Why was there just this random treasure buried in a field? Some historical background, back then they had no banks. So if a person had some wealth or some treasure that he wanted to keep safe, he couldn't just drive down to Wells Fargo to deposit his wealth. He had no treasure, he had no place to put his wealth. So what they did back then was actually very creative and very secure. They would just go to a place, dig it, put it underground, cover it up. No one knows where it is except for the person who dug the hole, the owner. Okay, so they would dig it and put it underground. They would bury it. So let me give you guys an example. If your town, now think in terms of first century people, if your town was being invaded by an army, people might come in and raid your house, take your stuff. You want to keep your treasure safe. At night, you go and you bury it. No one knows where it is except for you. The army comes, invades your town, trashes your house. They don't take the treasure because it's buried. No one knows where it is. The problem is, if you don't survive that invasion, what happens? The treasure stays buried. No one knows where it is. You're the only one who knows, and it's buried. It's there. It's just sitting there until someone might be walking around and stumbles on it and digs it up. Something like that might be happening here in verse 44. Okay, so this man was just walking through a field. He stumbled upon a treasure. He found treasure, and he dug it up. So what happens? What did he do? Look at the rest of verse 44. The man found treasure. He covered it up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that whole field. Buys the field. You know, sometimes I'll go to McDonald's with friends, grown men, and they'll buy Happy Meals. Like you see a grown man buying a Happy Meal because he wants that Yoshi toy inside the Happy Meal. I'm like, what? What are you doing, right? But the food, the chicken nuggets or whatever, it's just an afterthought. He opens up the box, he finds the Yoshi, says, oh yes, I have it. I have this Yoshi toy. The food is just an afterthought. I don't care about the food. I have the treasure within. This man bought the whole field. He sold everything that he had, all that he had, and he bought the whole field. That whole piece of land with rocks and dirt It was just an afterthought. It was for the treasure within. He found the treasure. The whole piece of land was just an afterthought. That's what's going on here in verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like finding treasure that you abandon all for to go get that within. Notice how little is said in this passage, though. As we read through verse 44, you might be thinking, there's so many details that's not given in this passage. Whose treasure was it? We don't know. Who was the owner of the field that he bought? Doesn't say. Why was this man walking in the field? What was he doing? We don't know, right? Doesn't say. How did he find the treasure? Was he digging around? Was he walking around? Was he sticking out or something? We don't know. Some of you might be thinking this. Some of you who are a little bit more crafty might be thinking this. When he found the treasure, why didn't he just make a run for it? Right? Okay, so many details not addressed in this passage, but here's the thing. There's a reason why Jesus kept it very brief. He wanted to make a point. All these details, that's not the point. That's not the point. Jesus wanted to make a point. This is the point, what he was trying to say. When something of supreme worth, something of supreme worth can be yours, the only appropriate response is what this man did, all in. Everything. He abandoned everything to have that one thing. That's the point of this passage. The only appropriate response. There's no other response that's appropriate for that situation when something of supreme worth can be yours. You do whatever it takes to have it. All right, so when I was reading through this passage, a phrase came to my mind. It was this: legitimate craziness. Right? Legitimate craziness. That's crazy. This guy sold all that he had. Every last thing. He didn't hold a single thing back. That's crazy. But it was legitimate. It was legitimate craziness. Right? This was the only appropriate response because something of such supreme worth, that priceless treasure, can be had. This was the only appropriate response. There was no time to lose. There's no holding back for something better. Got to be all in. He joyfully abandoned every last thing so that he could have this one main thing. Jesus compares this joy, this joy-driven pursuit to the kingdom of God, to the kingdom of heaven to be had. There's this pastor, this guy who writes a lot. He used to be a pastor. Now he's involved in missions work. His name is David Platt. He said this: Jesus and the kingdom that he calls us to are better than money, health, strength, even our families. Christ is supremely satisfying in such a way that if you lose everything on this earth, but you get the kingdom of heaven, you have a happy trade-off. Nothing in eternity can ever take away this great treasure. So summary of verse 44 is simply this: when supreme worth can be yours, you do whatever you can to have it. Okay? So that's verse 44. Now Jesus wants to make the same point. He wants to drill this point into us. He wants to make sure we get this. So he says the same thing again twice in a different way. He restates it. 45 and 46, he talks about the precious pearl. The precious pearl. Not just any pearl. The precious pearl. And he says the kingdom of heaven is like the precious pearl found to be had. All right. How many of you guys shop eBay? None of you. All right, one of you, right? A couple. All right, maybe it might be outdated nowadays. Maybe there's better forms of online shopping. But I'm a pretty big fan of eBay. And the reason is because that's a great place to go do some bargain hunting. All right, it's like a bidding system, but there's times when you can get some awesome deals on. And but then when I'm on eBay, my mentality is all about, man, I want to get a bargain. You know, like I want to, and I start counting every penny. Like I'm not going to spend more. Like if the bid is this, and the next bid is 5 cents over, no, that's too much. That's too much, right? I got to get a bargain. So every penny counts, right? But the thing in this passage, we're going to see in 45, 46, with this merchant, when he found the pearl, no bargaining was needed. He was all in. There was no holding back for something better. There was no counting pennies or dollars or shekels. For him, it was when he found it, no bargaining needed. All in. I got to have it. All in. Right? So look at 45 with me. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. This was a merchant who was in search of fine pearls. In other words, he was a man whose life, whose profession, who was dedicated to searching out the good stuff. He went all over the place to search out the good stuff. He only wanted the good stuff he could see, he could recognize it because he was an expert in it. When he saw a good one, he was able to recognize it, and he sought it out. He got the good stuff. That's what he focused on doing. But here, in this passage, this man, this merchant, he doesn't just find a fine pearl, a good one. It says that he found the one pearl of great value. He found the pearl, the precious pearl. Okay, this was not just another addition to his collection of already many pearls, many fine ones. This is not just a slight upgrade to his other fine ones. This is not just purchasing one more and saving up for the next one. For him, what does it say? It says he went and he sold all that he had, all his pearls, all the other fine ones that he had. He sold all of it and everything else that he had. He sold all that he had, and he went and he bought it. He was all in. His searching was done. There was no more searching left to be done. It was done. Right? So let's compare the two guys. Okay, in 44, the man who found treasure. He wasn't looking. He just stumbled upon it. But the result was he was, in the second part of verse 44, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. He was driven, when he found that treasure, he was driven by overwhelming joy. He was overwhelmed with joy that he went, he sold everything, he abandoned everything to have it. But now the merchant, he was dedicated to searching fine pearls. He found the pearl. He was a pearl expert. In other words, he wasn't just simply overwhelmed by joy. He was an expert in recognizing good stuff. So through careful calculation, finding the pearl, through careful calculation, through examination, through determination, his response was, this is better than everything else. And he sold it all. In other words, there was a different process between the two. One was overwhelmed by joy. One was through careful calculation. Two very different processes, but the response was the same. And it was all in, abandoning all to have that one. Give up everything else to have the one thing. Right? So that's here, Jesus is saying, this is the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom of heaven. This is what it's like to hear the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, that though we are sinful beyond repair, God in his love sent Jesus Christ, his son, perfect in righteousness, lived a perfect and sinless life, and yet he died a sinner's death on sinners' behalf, that for anyone who would turn from their sins and trust in him, full forgiveness, entrance into the kingdom is given. You can be outside of the kingdom, but through Jesus Christ, you can be inside the kingdom of heaven, and it's secure forever. When we have this opportunity to have that, Jesus says, it's like the man finding treasure. You go all in for it. It's like the man finding the precious pearl. You go all in for it. Okay, so some implications. Have you guys ever wondered, man, you know, like somebody think about heaven, it seems kind of boring. A lot of white harps, you know, people floating around singing. Man, that seems kind of boring, right? I'd rather watch a movie, or I'd rather, you know, go shopping or something, or go get my nails done or something, whatever girls like to do, right? Heaven's boring. All right, here's the thing, guys. There's not going to be a single unwilling person in heaven who somehow ends up there not from their choice. In heaven, only those who have seen the treasure, who have recognized treasure, who have recognized the pearl, and overjoyed to pursue it, those are the ones, because that's the reaction to finding kingdom, to seeing the kingdom. All right, so Christianity, the most bare-bone description of what Christianity, how it's like, is simply this: you see and you act. You see and you act. You recognize and you respond. Okay, so you see a truth from God's word, and you respond. You act upon it. You respond to it, either through faith or through practice, through action. Right? So you see and act. The thing is, when we see those two parts, see and to act, God enables us to see. When I was in seminary, right? You know, people in seminary, if you sit through one of those classes, sometimes you're like, man, this is pretty boring. Right, there's a lot of stuff here that I just don't think is very applicable. All right, but here's one thing that really helped me when I was studying seminary. I spent a lot of time studying on this doctrine called regeneration. Regeneration. How many of you guys have heard that doctrine before? Regeneration. All right, quite a few of you guys. All right, so the doctrine of regeneration is this. It says we are God causes us to be born again. He gives us spiritual life. New spiritual life, whereas our hearts were hard as stone, we were spiritually dead, yet God caused us to be born again, to be spiritually made alive, so that we can now live in response to Him in His gospel call spiritually and walk after Him, and to see the gospel and to believe the gospel and to follow Christ. The doctrine of regeneration. Okay, that doctrine was so helpful to me because if I don't believe in a doctrine of regeneration, I might as well just quit preaching and quit the ministry because there's no hope for anyone in this world. But because doctrine of regeneration is true, that God still gives people spiritual life, He causes people to be born again, to respond to Him in faith and in trust and in obedience. Because the doctrine of regeneration is true, there's hope for this world. And so, when we look at this passage, we see the doctrine of regeneration illustrated. We see regeneration. When regeneration happens to someone, verse 44 happens. Walk into a field, rocks and dirt, unpleasant, plain, nothing there. Everyone looks at that field, but one person looks at a field and sees treasure. There's treasure, unsurpassed treasure. Guys, John chapter 3, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We need to see this. We need to, what 44 describes, rocks and dirt, yet one man sees the treasure within. We too must see the kingdom of God. We too must see the beauty of Christ. We too must see the realities of the gospel. We too must see this, and we need to pray to God for it. Okay, so I'm sure there's some of you here who you're like, man, the only reason I'm here is because my mom dragged me out of bed, you know, and I'm here today because I don't want to be here, but man, my mom dragged me out of bed, yelling at me, saying, get to church, you know. And, you know, I rolled out of bed and I came here. All right. If for you, you're like, I have no desire for Christ. I do not see the beauty of Christ at all. You know, I don't know what I'm doing here. We must pray for eyes to see the treasure of the gospel in the middle of a dirt field. God causes us to see. We must pray, God, let me see the kingdom of God. Okay? God not only gives us sight to see, God also strengthens us to act. So if you pray to Christ that you will see, if you pray to God, tell me to see Christ, and if you see Christ, do not walk away from treasure. We must act. We must act decisively and wholeheartedly like these two men in the parable, right? So if God gives you eyes to see your sin, I'm a sinner beyond repair. I'm a sinner and I've sinned against God. I need forgiveness from God. And if God gives you eyes to see Christ, the beautiful Savior for us, fully sufficient, fully offered to us, if God gives us eyes to see the beautiful Savior of Christ, if God has given you eyes to see this, like the man and the treasure, like the merchant, we must act. We must respond. We must not leave treasure behind. We must pursue it. I think Jesus calls us to urgency here. Pursue it. All in. No moment to waste. Not holding out for something better. There is nothing better. This is unsurpassed treasure. Pursue it. Right? Now, if you've been a Christian for so long, maybe a little bit, but maybe a long time, this passage not only calls us, the implication is not only to enter the kingdom initially, it calls us to taste the kingdom continually. It's not just about getting in, it's about living for the kingdom. If kingdom of God truly is like treasure, like fine, precious pearl, this is something that we should be, as we live for the kingdom, we should be tasting how worthy it is, how awesome it is. All right, so Christian, in your fight against sin this week, in your devotion to Christ this week, in your commitment and your obedience to Christ this week, remember from this passage, there is no sacrifice that you can make, whether it be your sin or any pleasure, any treasure, there's no sacrifice that you can make that will be too much. Because the kingdom is surpassed worth, you will not regret it. You will not go, man, you know what? I just gave up too much for the kingdom. I gave up too much to follow Christ. I gave up too much to live for the kingdom. There will be no regrets. It's unsurpassed worth. Jim Elliot, he said, a missionary who was a martyr, he famously said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Another implication is this: the gospel does not lose value. The gospel does not lose value. The value is priceless and timeless. So this past week, I watched a really old movie, Chronicles of Narnia, right? And man, every time when I get to that scene where Aslan gives himself and he dies, I always get a little emotional, right? I'm like, man, I know this is a kid's movie, but I'm like, oh, this is overwhelming for me. Guys, let me ask you, has the good news, the gospel, has the good news become old news to you? Has your love for Christ grown cold over time? The gospel does not lose value. It is unsurpassed treasure, producing overwhelming joy. Guys, if your love for Christ has been growing cold, perhaps it's time for us to meditate on the cross again. Meditate on the cross again, where the ultimate display of Christ's love and goodness is shown to us. And for that reason, we love him back. And we cannot help but love him back. Right? Last point. And this is kind of a challenge for us. Jesus says something, and you just know, man, I'm just not grown up enough for this. This is grown up stuff, man. I'm just way too immature for this. I know for Jesus, what Jesus said here in three simple verses, the truth is so deep and impactful that if I truly grasped and understood and applied and lived this verse out, my life will look pretty different. My thinking, my heart will be very different. But right now, I'm just not there. All right, when I read this passage, I can't help but feel that way. I'm like, Jesus is saying something here that I'm just not fully grasping here. Guys, I want to challenge us this week to just walk through this week sorry, Ben, to walk through this week, your week, wherever you are in your school, in your work, wherever you are this week, walk through this week with this verse in your mind. And pray to God that it starts to drip into your heart. Perhaps it will cause us to see the whole world differently. That the kingdom of heaven is like unsurpassed treasure. It is unsurpassed treasure. Perhaps it causes us to reorient everything about our lives, to re-see everything around us. Perhaps we'll see that the okayness that this world can offer us, that the world can offer everyone around us, the okayness, those who seem okay, it actually is just a superficial band-aid covering deeper realities. Perhaps we'll see that some who are rich might actually be exceedingly poor, and some poor might be exceedingly rich. Some that the world looks upon and goes, man, I feel bad for you. They might be the richest ones of all. Perhaps you walk into your school or work this week, and you are a Christian, and in the room full of people, there is only one other Christian in the room, and a whole room of people who don't see treasure, but then you make eye contact with that other person in the room, and you just know, man, brother, can you believe we have this? And you just know. You can't describe it. You don't have to say anything. You just make eye contact. You just know, man, brother, can you believe what we have? No one else knows it. No one else understands it, but you know it. And being a very Asian-looking church here, this might be a little bit sensitive, but parents, if we see the truth of this passage, perhaps, now we know you guys love your kids a ton. You'll do anything for your kids. But if this passage is true, maybe the greatest way that you can love your kids is not doing whatever it takes to get them into that school, but doing whatever it takes to get them treasure, to show them treasure, so they can be rich. Lastly, maybe you see people who are hurting this week, and the world just doesn't give them comfort. And you just look at them, and your heart goes out to me, and you go, man, let me show you treasure. There is treasure to be found for you, for me. Let me show you treasure. I challenge us to walk through this week with this verse, with this passage, really shaping us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this treasure that you offer to us. Father, even though maybe we're a little bit too, all of us, we're just not fully grasping every word that Jesus said in these few verses. Father, we pray that you'll help us understand it more. And Father, we pray for our lives to truly be impacted by you, knowing what you have given, knowing that there's treasure to be handled, knowing there's treasure to be enjoyed, and to be offered to others. Father, we pray that you will cause this passage to truly change us and to grow us to be who you want us to be. Thank you again for Jesus Christ, who is the one through whom we can have all this richness. Thank you. We pray this through Christ. Amen.